Hey everyone, welcome back to another Koinonia Hour. And hold on, I gotta get rid of something here. Okay, as you can see, I have one of my very best friends and brother on, and definitely a co-laborer in the fields of harvest, Marty Breeden. And I'm so excited for him to be here. But when I say excited, just let me say this before he gets to introduce himself. When I say excited, I don't mean it in terms of like, I'm really excited. I want to kind of tone that down more and say I'm very honored to have him on, to have you on, because the message you're going to give today is one that's somber, but full of hope and deep. And so I pray before he introduces himself, everybody just sit back. I'm giving him the floor. I want him to share completely. And no rushing. Because what he has to share is profound, and I believe this message needs to go out to everybody. So welcome, Marty.
Joni, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with you. You and I have been like brother and sister for many years now, ever since we did the interview on A Minute to Midnight about my Code Blue experience. A lot of people know about that, but what a lot of people don't know about is how I initially come to know the Lord. I'm going to share that in just a moment, but thank you again for the invite. Thank you for allowing me to be here. And as we prayed before you started recording, that God would use this broadcast, this interview, to populate heaven, to bring others into the fold, because we do believe that we're living in the last hours. And, you know, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I'm going to be sharing my testimony today. I had a really, really good career in law enforcement, a long career in law enforcement, retired in 2018. I'm thankful for that. And I believe that God is calling his people forth today to share the word. There's a sense, before I get into this, Joni, of urgency that I have. I think you have that. We know that we're being warned by the Lord in dreams. Some are having visions. We know that it's almost like the clarion call is going out now. Almost like there's this last call. Going out. And I think that what we're going to be sharing today is going to be part of what God is going to be doing through you and I to reach the lost. It is an evangelistic message, and I'm looking forward to sharing it.
Good. Well, I mean, there's no time like the present. We're all ears.
Amen. But you know, Moses prayed in Psalm 90 to help us to number our days. And I want to share a scripture from Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14, 15, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want to read that last part again. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We're not to boast about tomorrow. The Bible's very clear, Joni. We don't know what tomorrow holds. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. I love when the Bible asks us questions and then answers. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And as we begin, I want to say that, you know, God and God alone knows what it takes to bring each one of us as individuals to him. You know, some people are touched by a simple gospel message, a presentation of the gospel, and that's enough to bring them to the Lord. Some people find a Bible tract, and that's enough to bring them to Christ. Some people will hear a song that touches their heart. And before you know it, they've given their lives to the Lord. So God deals with us as individuals, knowing what it takes to bring Joni Saul to the Lord. He knew what that would take. He knew what it would take to bring Marty Breeden to the Lord. So I think that's important. God deals with us each as individuals. And what I'm about to share, I'm not going to sensationalize it in any way, but I'm also not going to take away from it. You know, I shared with you before we started recording that I've only shared this a handful of times because it does seem so sensational. But every word that I speak to you right now and who listen, those who listen to this need to know that I'm acutely aware that I will stand before the Lord and give an account of him of every, to him of every idle word that I speak. So, and I take that in consideration when I do an interview. But I've not shared this very often in public. I haven't wanted to share. I don't like talking about this, to be straight out honest. I don't like talking about it. I was going to a church, a brethren church several years ago, probably about 3 years ago now. And as I was getting, I had a message to preach. And as I stood behind the pulpit, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me to share what I'm going to share with you and your audience today. And people came to the Lord that Sunday morning. But I remember stepping down from the pulpit and saying, Lord, I don't want to ever talk about that again. And for several years, the Lord let it be. And then he began to deal with my heart to share this with you personally, privately, as I did. And then I began to have a stirring in my spirit that we were supposed to do this show today. So let's get into it. You know, I was raised in the Assemblies of God Church. It was a Pentecostal church. I often joke and tell people, I was raised in the church that, yes, you want your friends to get saved, but not in your church. You never knew what was going to happen on some Sunday mornings. In fact, one of the first memories that I can recall ever was during a Christmas program. I got up to do something, and here's the only thing that I can remember. I remember holding this little card, and this is what I said. This year, I am 4 years old. Last year, I was three. So, I don't remember anything, but that's one of my earliest memories. The first prayer that I can ever recall praying as a little boy was the prayer that many of us prayed as a child and says, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But then I would get to that part, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I would get to that part and I'd always get a little bit hung up. That part always seemed to trouble me a little bit. But I remember praying that. And as a child, and Joni, you and I have talked about this before, and I've talked to many others that have experienced this, that many people have this sense when they're children of an acute awareness of God and wanting to know God. And I had that. It was in my heart as long as I can remember. I wanted to know the Lord. You know, I could go outside and look at the stars at nighttime and lay underneath those stars, and I wanted to know the God who put those stars there. I could go out and lay on the ground in the middle of the day and stare up at the clouds. And I would want to know the God who set those clouds in place. It was just something that was in me. But there was also something else in me, Joni. And from a very... Hang on 1 second. From a very young child, I had an inordinate fear of death. I was very, very scared of death. And I can recall being young, single digits, probably 6 and 7 years old. And this thought and fear of death would come over me. And it was terrorizing to me. I would lay in bed at night and I would think, even as a young, young child, I am going to die. One day I'm going to die. And I would get so frightened at the thought of death. It was, even as the Bible said, there was bondage in that fear of death, even as a young boy. But God is merciful. God is gracious. And it was during those times of great fear, even torment, that I began to hear the voice of the Lord. And in the middle of the night, I would be in my room, and this fear would come upon me. And I would hear the Lord begin to speak. There's always me. You can turn to me. And I remember that. And, you know, it's hard to talk about some of these things because you remember the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. But I could hear the voices of the Lord so clearly. And that when he would say, there's always me, you can always turn to me. You can always come to me. When he would speak that, it would bring me such comfort and it would soothe my soul. It was like a balm to my soul. And I would sleep peacefully after I heard that voice. And it happened pretty much every night. So then fast forward for many years, life just continued. And I for the most part, lived a fairly normal life. You know, that seemed to wane for a while. and lived a normal life as a teen. I was, you know, playing sports and riding motorcycles and chasing pretty girls and all those things that a young teenager does, and enjoying school, enjoying a little bit of freedom, you know, growing up around my family and spending time, you know, with my family and doing things. So life continued. Everything was pretty normal. And then when I was about 15, that fear of death began to come back with a vengeance. And it came back hard and fast, and it hit, imagine this, simultaneously with me beginning to feel the call of God again, that wooing of the Holy Spirit, that drawing of God began to come simultaneously. It was like the perfect storm. It just came together. And during that time in my life, it was really interesting, because when all this was happening, the fear of death, God calling, it seemed that everywhere I would go, I would find Bible tracts. Everywhere I would go, there'd be Bible tracts. And I would see those Bible tracts, and I didn't want anyone to see me take them. But I would go to a restaurant, or I'd go into a restroom, or I'd go into a store. Everywhere I would go, there were Bible tracts. I would take those Bible tracts, and I would put them in my pocket, and I would fill my pockets. And when I would get home in the evenings, as I was taking my jeans off, it was not uncommon for me to have 10 to 15 Bible tracts in my pocket that I had collected throughout that day. I mean, it was wild. They were everywhere. So what would happen is I would take those Bible tracts out, and I was sharing a room with my brother at the time, and I would wait for him to go to sleep, and I would pull out those Bible tracts, and I had a little flashlight. And I would take that flashlight when he was asleep, and I would get down by my bed, and I would open those tracts, and I would begin to read how Jesus died for me, and how much he loved, and how he went to the cross. And I was, you know, very emotional about this, because we remember the works of the Lord. David said, I will remember the works of the Lord. I'm remembering his works. And God would speak to me through those tracts and draw me. But I wouldn't come. I would weep and weep and weep. And then I would put those tracts away, and I'd get back in my bed. And this would happen night after night after night. And then I would be out in public, and this fear of death would come upon me. I could be anywhere, and this thing would just come upon me like a dark cloud. It would set down over me. And it was debilitating, and it was beyond. Some people said we were having a panic attack. No, I've had panic attacks. I know what they are. This was not that. This was a genuine fear of death that is indescribable. And you'll hear me use that word again. But this fear of death would come upon me. And the only thing that I would know to do at the time is I would try to make a deal with God. That think about the mercy of the Lord and what I'm about to say. This fear of death would come upon me. I'd be debilitated. I would tell God, oh, Lord, if you take this fear of death away, if you make this go away right now, I promise you I will go to church on Sunday morning. I would pray that prayer. You know what God in his mercy did? He would take that fear of death away, and I would keep my end of the deal. I would go to church on Sunday, and I began to do this routinely. This fear of death would come. I was, oh, God, take it away, take it away. I promise to be in church on Sunday. And I would go to church on Sunday. I would keep up my end of the deal, and I would sit at the back of the church, and I always went to Bible-believing churches, and they would preach the message, and as they would get ready to give the altar call at the end, when I would be at the back of the church, when they would say, if there's anyone here, I would be under such conviction, God dealing with me so heavily, that I would literally, physically run out of the church, because I did not want to be subjected to that wooing, that calling, that drawing, that conviction of the Holy Ghost. I would run out of the church. I would run out of the church, and then it would happen again next week. Time and time and time again, this just began to happen. And honestly, it almost became a normal occurrence. Fear of death, my promise to go to church, God, run out of the church. It became almost, Joni, frightfully routine. So then God began to call even deeper. And I've sensed the Lord really saying, now's the time. I just sensed that in my spirit. And I remember on one particular day, I went to town with my mother. We had taken our grandmother shopping. And I went to town. I remember, Joni, I was sitting in the back of the car. I was 17. And I was sitting in the back of the car. And I told my mom, who was not a Christian, She was a good woman, but she's not a Christian. Because I always went to church with my grandmother. My grandmother, when I was a little boy being raised in church, she would always take me to church. But I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm really feeling the call of God to become a Christian. I really feel like I need to give my heart to the Lord. And my mom, I'll never forget it. She said, son, she said, I want you to become a Christian. She said, I want you to go to heaven. And I want you to live your life with the Lord, but not like your grandmother. My grandmother was a Pentecostal. She said, I want you to go out, son, and I want you to enjoy life. She said, I want you to do the things that you want to do. I want you to go out and have fun and go out and live and have a good time and live it up. And then one day before you die, you can give your life to the Lord and you can become a Christian. Well, you know what? That's motherly advice. That seemed like pretty sound advice, didn't it? Let me tell you what it was. It was fatal advice. It was not good counsel. But Mom said it. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, verses 19 through 20. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul shall be required. So here's where it gets tough. Bear with me. I went home that night and I shared a bedroom with my brother. And I was 17, he was 9. And we would always talk before we went to sleep. And we were talking and laughing and carrying on about things. And I was thinking about what Mom had said, and just thinking of everything that was going on in my life. And so my little brother and I were having a conversation. And the last words that I remember for what I'm going to tell you is, I said to my brother, Michael, good night, I love you. And he said, good night. And I closed my eyes. Joni, as soon as I closed my eyes, my bed opened up. This was not a dream. I was wide awake. I fell down through my bed. Underneath the house, there was a crawl space. I went down through this crawl space. I saw the crawl space. When I got to the ground, opened up into this huge abyss. I began to descend with a speed that I cannot describe. It was a literal free fall into outer darkness. And I began to descend faster and faster. And within a matter of a few seconds, it hit me. And I began to scream, my God, I've died without Jesus. I've died and now I'm gone. And I don't have Christ, and I'm going to hell forever. I'm dying. It's gone. It's all over. And I've died unsaved. And I began to scream as loud as I could. It seemed that nothing came out physically, even though I was trying to scream as loud as what I could. But it was a speed that was unknown. And as I was beginning to scream, I realized that nothing was coming out. And the more I descended, Jody, the darker and darker it got. Jesus, when he described it as a place of outer darkness, I know exactly what he was talking about. And I remember at the same time that I was screaming that I died without Jesus, it seemed that I remembered my time on the earth. It seemed that I could remember every Bible tract. I could remember every sermon. It seemed that I could remember every altar call. It seemed that I could remember every person that had ever shared their personal testimony with me. Every time that God called, I could remember, and I could remember every time I said no. Falling and falling and falling, and darkness got darker and darker. It was truly just an absolute indescribable fear. There's no way I can describe it. And suddenly, my descent came to an end. And it seemed as though my feet landed on ground. And as soon as my feet hit this ground, I literally, Joni, I took my hands and I put my hands up to my eyes like this, and I could see nothing. There were no shadows there because there was no light. And I tried to gather myself. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear anything. It was complete outer darkness. And I did a 360, trying to get some type of feel for what was going on, some type of feel for where I was at. But there was nothing. And then as quick as this happened, suddenly, up in front of me, as I was standing, it was like over to my right-hand side. There was something there, Joni, something large, something evil, something foreboding. And I didn't know what that was. I think I do now. But whatever that was, I needed to run from it. I believe with everything that was within me, it was the gates of hell. And it drew me like a magnet. I could feel myself being drawn to those gates. And even though I couldn't see anything, I knew that whatever this was, I had to get away from that. And so I began to try to run in the darkness. And I turned as quickly as I could. And before I could even take my first step, some being, something, grabbed me by the left shoulder and pushed me toward whatever this was. I believe the gates of hell. And as he pushed, those same thoughts, I've died without Jesus. I've died without Jesus. I resisted the call. And I got closer and closer. And I began to scream and scream and scream. Oh, God, have mercy. God save me. God forgive me. I began to scream and nothing coming up, and it was just horrible. And so finally I got about 10 or 12 feet away from that. And in the mercy of God, I opened my eyes and I was back in my bed. Now, it just so happened that week, there was a powerful and young evangelist that had come to the church that I was raised in by the name of Steve Messick, powerful man of God. I think he pastors today. And he was holding a revival there. And I don't hardly remember much of anything. I decided to go to church that night. And I don't remember a song that was sung, a hymn that was sang. I don't remember a word from the sermon. But I know when that man gave that altar call, I literally staggered to the altar and gave my heart to the Lord. And God, I remember when I hit the altar, and theologically you say, well, I wasn't well-versed, and the first thing I said, God, I don't want to go to hell. God, save me. And I'm telling you, Joni, when I prayed that prayer, I felt the light and the love of God enter my being. And I wept and wept and wept. And that was July 17th, 1981. And I felt the love of the Lord coming to me, and I remember getting up from that altar. And the first thing that I noticed was how clean and cleansed I felt. And I remember thinking, I feel 10,000 pounds lighter. I could not believe the weight of the sin that I had carried. So I know that there is a heaven. I know that there is a hell. And Jesus died to save us from that hell. And Joni, I have some things I just want to share very briefly at the end. I know this has been hard for people to listen to. It sounds unbelievable, but I'm telling you, before the Lord, it all happened. And I was right there. I saw it all. I experienced every bit of it. I would be afraid to say one thing that wasn't true. And I'm thankful that God allowed me to have that experience. And I've never, ever forgotten the power of that experience. Go ahead, you share.
Well, that'll give you a chance to kind of maybe take a breath for a minute. You know, as I'm listening to this, there's no way, and I think maybe I have the hearts of everybody that are listening or that will listen, is there's no way that we could ever imagine what that was like. I mean, you know, people, we can only imagine what hell must be like or imagine what heaven must be like, but we'll never know. And so your description of what it felt like to die godless, having no hope at all.
Amen.
You are separated from the earth, from your family, from any power that you had by choice of will, it's taken away from you.
Yes.
And to be in a place that is dark.
Yes.
Because we're on earth. We love the sunshine. We're alive on earth. But when you go down into that place and you see those demons that are down there that wait for them that die, because where you went was Hades. Hell is the lake of fire. That's empty right now. That's later. That's future. You went to Hades. But people should hear this, because there's people that are really on the edge of eternity right now. Maybe they don't want to get saved right now. Maybe they're doing what you did, right? You just kept putting it off, or maybe getting fatal advice from well-meaning, even loving people. But they need to make a choice. And I'm gonna turn it back over to you, because I know you have more, and I want to hear more what you have to say. So I don't want to take up any more time. So please continue.
Well, I don't have much more I want to share, because I want to give people an opportunity to know this Jesus that saved me from that terrible place. But there was the one thing that I recall, that so there was no escape. There was no redos. There were no do-overs. There was no court of appeals. The verdict was final. And it was only the mercy of the Lord that allowed me to experience that the way he did. What I want to share, and it's very, very important for everyone that's listening to hear this, and I'm asking people to share this with your loved ones, as uncomfortable as this might be, as awkward as it might be, as I've stumbled and stammered through this testimony, I do believe that God can use this to win souls. But here's what everyone that's listening needs to remember, that man is an eternal soul. We are made likened to the image of God, who is a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have a body, which is what people see. We have a spirit that when we pass, it will return back to the Lord, which gives us life and the ability to move, live, and have our being. But the real us is our eternal soul. Man, the Bible says that when God breathed into Adam's nostrils, then man became a living soul. We are a living soul that will live forever. At 10 billion years from now, when this has been played 10 billion years from now, we will be spending eternity in either heaven or hell, and there's no in between. And it's really, this is what I want. I said all that to say this. There was a time when you were not, but there will never be a time when you'll not be again. God created eternity within your breast. You are alive forevermore, and you have the choice. You know, that the choice to choose Christ and to choose heaven and eternity in heaven, to have your name written in the beautiful Lamb's Book of Life. And we're going to stand before the Lord. We know that as Christians, we'll stand at the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. But for those, had I not gotten saved, had God not been merciful, I would have stood at what the Bible says, the great white throne judgment. And my deeds would have been final. But I want to give an opportunity for those who don't know the Lord to come to know Christ. This is the most important decision that you'll ever make. And we're going to pray in a minute. It's not specific words that I'm going to pray. It's a matter of the heart and you reaching out to God and opening your heart and letting the Holy Spirit do what only he can do. I can deliver a message, but only God through the Holy Ghost can draw you. But Jesus, come to this Jesus, the one who said in Revelation 1:18, listen to this. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Come to that Christ which defeated hell. Come to that Christ which defeated death. And before we pray, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. If you don't know the Lord, my friends, I want to give you that opportunity to come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And I want to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And Joni, I'm going to ask you to be that person who would be praying the sinner's prayer. If you don't mind, you repeat after me when I pray. Okay. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I am sorry for my sins.
And the life that I have lived.
And the life that I have lived.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my heart now.
Come into my heart now.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
I accept the sacrifice.
I accept the sacrifice.
That you made on Calvary's cross.
That you made on Calvary's cross.
For the full payment of my sins.
For the full payment of my sins.
And Father, according to your word.
And Father, according to your word.
Which cannot lie.
Which cannot lie.
I'm redeemed.
I am redeemed.
I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
And I am saved.
And I am saved.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Marty, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know that was difficult for you to do, but you will. But the benefits will be reaped.
Amen.
Okay. And I pray that the Lord carries this message, what I call on the winged seeds, throughout Amen. The whole earth.
Amen.
And that all the hearts that will receive it will be prepared, the soil of their hearts to receive it, and that they will come as they have now to the knowledge of the truth and be saved.
Amen. Amen.
Now, before we go, how can people find you? And by the way, before you answer, I want everybody to know whatever you say will be in the description box below so they can find you and stay in contact with you and things that you do daily as a watchman for the Lord, which Amen. By the way, one of them, you know, I'm on the Marty's 2 minute warning. So go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for allowing me to share this, and may the Lord add his blessing to it. People can reach me on Facebook, M.W. Breeden is how I'm listed there. I have a Telegram page which shares current events as compared to, you know, Bible prophecy and end time events. It's called Marty, the 2 minute warning. From an email perspective, you can reach us at, let me get this right, Almost Heaven, MGB, as in Marty, Georgia Breeden, Almost Heaven, MGB at gmail.com. We also have on Facebook a page that my wife felt led of the Lord, and it's done really well, thank God, to share. It's called Almost Heaven, and we share songs and we share devotionals, and we take communion, and God has really blessed that. You know, you can request to join that as well. So that's the best way to get in touch with us.
Amen. Amen. Well, Marty, it's been such a, I mean, to say it's been a blessing is an understatement. Thank you. I mean, I'm very, very honored. I can't wait to get this posted. So I'm going to have to say goodbye to you so we can get this up, right? Because it's a message that needs to be out and circulating right now. So thank you so much. The Lord bless you. Bless Georgia. Bless all the dogs. We love them. And we all love you. You're very loved. So God bless you. Stay on. So stay on. I'm going to hit stop record, but stay on. Don't go anywhere. All right, you guys. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Go with the Lord.